Hello, this is Tony Broom. The Proverbs tell us, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people mourn. You have been familiar with mock trials. Even in recent days, we have seen joke trials and joke proceedings, mock proceedings. There is no greater example of this than the mock trial of our precious Lord Himself. Tony Broom Ministries now presents the following teaching session entitled, Jesus Stands Trial. I'm sure that most of us are familiar with mock trials. If you've ever heard of a mock trial where they'll have a trial, but they've already determined what the verdict's going to be before they even start. I think the most famous or infamous mock trial ever was the trial of our Lord. Jesus stands trial. Well, he stands trial, but it was a mock trial. Jesus displayed humility in the darkest hours of his life. Peter talks about him suffering. And he said when he reviled not again when he was reviled. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him who judged righteously. Jesus didn't retaliate when they did all those awful things to him. He didn't say, you wait till I get up off of this cross. I'll show you who's boss. That's what you and I would have said. Yeah. And it's hard when we're mistreated. It's hard when we're done wrong against not to retaliate and to get even Stephen. But Jesus didn't do that. In the darkest hours of his life, he still exhibited love and he showed humility. I want to read a verse from Matthew 26, verses 3 and 4. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people into the palace of the high priest who was called Caiaphas. Caiaphas was the high priest who, in John chapter 11, prophesied that Jesus should die for the whole nation, and not for the whole nation only, but for the world. There was expedient that one man would die for the people. And Caiaphas, one that prophesied that. They gathered together at the palace of the high priest called Caiaphas and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. So before the trial even happened, they got together and decided to take him by craftiness, and kill him. They had already decided the verdict before the trial took place. So many times we see that happen. And even if people have a trial and the verdict doesn't come out the way they want it to, even though it's the right verdict, they find someone guilty, but if the opposite side, the left wingers usually, if they don't like it, they'll cause so much trouble, they'll change the verdict, even though the system, the judicial system, has found the person guilty. There's so many mock trials that have taken place, and we've seen it in recent days, joke trials, mock trials that have taken place, and the one that we can talk about the most, but make the top of the list, is the trial of Christ. When he stood before the high priest and he stood before Pilate. Our golden text verse is Mark 14, 60 and 61. The high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Jesus had to stop talking before he could die. His word is so powerful that he had to stop talking. If he had said everything he could have said, he would have just set himself free. Yeah. He had to stop talking in order that they would go through with what they were doing. He was betrayed and arrested. Betrayed by one of his own and arrested for things he never did. Mark chapter 14, verse 43. Immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, And with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and scribes and elders. And he that betrayed them had given them a token, saying, Whosoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. Judas had conspired to betray our Lord, and he met together with the chief priests and scribes and elders, and came up with this plot. The one that I kiss is he. You take him and lead him away. They had already come up with this plan to arrest him, even though he had done nothing wrong. As soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. We know that, of course, to be Simon Peter with the sword. Jesus answered and said unto them, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. They had obtained these swords and poles, sticks and staves, the King James calls it. They had obtained these weapons from the chief priests and scribes of the people. You wouldn't think that they would supply weapons. You would think they would supply something that would help people, something that would keep people from fighting instead of making people fight. So the whole system was a joke. It was a sneer. It was a setup from the very beginning. They obtained these weapons, and all these things you could go through if we had time to go through and tell how they broke the law. There were so many things they did during this joke trial, mock trial, that they broke the law. They shouldn't have come out against him to arrest him without proving he had done anything wrong. Of course, they couldn't prove that because he didn't do anything wrong. And they couldn't have arrested him without probable cause. They shouldn't have come out with weapons against someone who was innocent. They shouldn't have had the trial at night. You could go on and on with things they did to break the law. And the Old Testament said that these things should not be done. So they were the ones who were breaking the law. And they were accusing him of doing something. They were the ones who were at fault. That's the way the liberal crowd usually goes. The more they talk about other people, the more they're at fault themselves. So the disciples, all of them, forsook him and fled. He was first before the high priest. Verse 53, they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and elders and scribes. So there again, they already had this group cooped up together before he even got there. Before they even got him there, they were already assembled. They had already decided what they wanted to do. We have this thing, of course, of Peter denying the Lord. Everybody talks about that, so we won't get into that. But we want to stick with the details, at least as Mark gives them to us, about Jesus coming before the high priest, coming before Pilate. Verse 55, the chief priests and all the council sought witness against Jesus to put him to death and found none. They sought witness against him to put him to death and couldn't find anything. Many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. That's the way liars usually are. You can't find one to agree with the other because they're all a bunch of liars. Now that may sound unkind, and I've talked to the Lord. I said, it's going to be hard for me to present kindness, and I should be kind. But you're passionate. This is a passionate session today because it's talking about the most joke trial, the mock trial that's ever been. Our wonderful Lord, who was innocent, even Pilate said, I find no fault in him. And he had done nothing wrong. But yet, he's here, right before a bunch of hungry mongrels that are bloodthirsty for his life. They try to get false witness against him and can't even do that. There arose certain and said, they bear false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. That's not what Jesus said. What Jesus actually said was, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. He wasn't promising to build another temple. What they made it sound like that he said was, you destroy this temple and I'll magically build another one. No, that's not what Jesus said. He was not talking about Solomon's or Herod's temple. He's talking about the temple of his body. You destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. And that's exactly what happened. They killed him, but on the third day, thank God, he rose again. And that's what the Lord did. He did exactly what he told them he would do. And so they, of course, got it wrong, trying to tell the story. Neither did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? You don't have to answer a lie. A lie speaks a lie for itself. Jesus didn't have to say anything. He held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Now, at this point, Jesus had to answer, because he asked him straightly, are you the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. I am, in the New Testament, the same thing as I am in the Old Testament. When he said, I am, they knew that word, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. He gave a prophecy that said, not only am I the Christ, but you're going to see, one of these days, you will see me coming in the clouds of heaven. He told them the prophecy of the second coming, that he would actually come to earth and you're actually going to see it. Now in the rapture, they're not going to see him. The only ones who will see him in the rapture are the ones who are ready for him. We'll see him, but the world won't see him. They'll not know what's happening. By the time they figure out what's happening, it'll be too late. But we'll see him. But the time he's talking about, when he comes to the earth again, every eye will see him. He will come in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Then the high priest rent his clothes. Well, that was against the law. The Old Testament said strictly, specifically, the priest is not to rend his garments. He's not to show his thighs. He's not to wear anything that causes sweat. He's not to tear his clothes for the dead. He's not to be in any way of that kind of spirit. He should let others do that, but he should not, because the anointing oil of God is upon him. So the high priest, this is a high priest now. He rent his clothes. He broke the law specifically. He saith, what need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think you? Now he's asking people to condemn Jesus, who didn't have the power to do it. They all condemned him to be guilty of death. It's a joke. He had done nothing wrong. Some of them began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, prophesy. Tell me who did it. They blasphemed him. Instead of him being the blasphemer, they were the ones who were blaspheming his holy name. The servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. Now he went all through this for you and I. So now they bring him to Pilate. Straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. All of it a joke again, bound Jesus, carried him away, delivered him to Pilate. Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering him, said unto him, thou sayest it. You got that right. That would be our way of saying it. The chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Pilate asked him again, saying, answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. Now he said the same thing that the joke council before the high priest did. All these witnessing against you, they're accusing you of all these things. Why aren't you saying anything? Jesus didn't have to defend himself. An innocent person doesn't have to defend themselves. Their innocency defends them. They don't have to defend themselves. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Pilate knew he hadn't done anything wrong. In fact, he told them, I find no fault in this man. So they had a murderer, seditionist. You talk about insurrection, Barabbas was the main leader. Yet they wanted him to be released, and they wanted to condemn and crucify the Christ of glory, and so they did. The chief priests moved the people that they should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said unto them again, "What will you then that I shall do unto him whom you call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him!" Then Pilate said unto them, "Why? What evil hath he done?" Now that was a question they couldn't answer. He said, "What evil did he do?" They couldn't come up with one thing. You know why? Because he had not done anything wrong. That's why they couldn't come up with one single thing. They could lie, they could jeer, they could accuse, but they couldn't come up with one sensible thing that he had done wrong. They cried out the more, saying exceedingly, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Watch out for these folks who will do something to try to content the people, because that's what they did in Jesus' mock trial. Pilate did what he did. He knew that Christ should be released. And he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he stood on the cross for you and me, that's what the song says. Thank God he didn't come down. But by rights, he shouldn't have ever even been there. Pilate knew he had done nothing wrong. "I find no fault in this man. I will therefore scourge him and release him. If you release this man, you're not Caesar's friend." And so the Gospels go on and on, back and forth. Pilate finally willing to content the people, being the popular vote. The system that we see all the time, being the popular vote. You don't want to make a stand for what's right, so you'll go along with the wrong. If you want to not be left, you better get right. And that's the way it is in our day. So many are going to the left, but you better get right, go to the right so you won't be left. It's so unpopular in our day to stand up for what's right. And you hear preachers say, "Fight for what's right." They're not talking about fighting like it's being used against people now. It's amazing how they'll use fight against you when it's to their benefit. But they can say fight all summer long and burn stuff down and cause trouble. No, they're just expressing their opinion. They're not doing anything wrong. You got that same pharisaical crowd that's in charge. Even right now, they're in charge of our government, they're in charge of our nation, they're in charge of our schools, and they're seeming to be taking power. More power all the time is being given to them. And you'll say, "Why in the world does that happen?" Because it's the same thing that was in charge in Jesus' day. It's the power of darkness. God's in ultimate control, but as far as this world is concerned, the prince of the power of the air, he's having his heyday right now. He's got the world blanketed in darkness. He's got the world feared in COVID and in pandemic, pandemonium, all kind of pans. But you know what? It's going to pan out in the end, because my God is still in control. The one who actually was in control at his trial, he was in control on the cross, even though they killed him, but he was in control. "No man takes my life from me," he said. "I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again." Praise God, and he did. He did exactly what he said he would do. And he's in heaven right now. He lives. He reigns in power and glory. He's overseeing all this mockery that's still going on. And they're still spitting in the face of Jesus. This nation, not you, and not many people, but in general, this nation is still spitting in the face of Jesus right now today. Yes. They're still blaspheming him. But when he comes again, he's not coming as a little lamb. He's coming as a lion of the tribe of Judah. Yes. And he'll fix things. Whatever's wrong, he'll make it right. Whatever's broken, he'll fix it. Yes. He'll fix this world. He'll take us home to be with him, and everything's going to be all right. That all evil will be put down. And if those who will not serve Christ, there's not a but one answer for them. There's not but one way. If you don't serve Christ, you've got to have to face the wrath of God. The wrath of God that should have been poured out on that crowd when Jesus was crucified is reserved and bottled up, and one day those who refuse to serve Christ will have to face that wrath. All the wrath of their sins will be poured out on them. It is so much better to come to Christ and be saved now. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord, that you went through the persecution, through the ridicule, through the retaliation, through all the brutal treatment that you went through for us. And Pilate scourged you. And by the scourging, the stripes that were laid on your back, we can be healed and blessed today because of it. By the blood that was shed, started falling in Pilate's judgment hall, the same blood makes the vilest sinner clean. And I pray that many would be saved and blessed today in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful thing it is to know that Jesus went through everything he did for you and I on the cross of Calvary, standing all the ridicule and mistreatment that went against him. The scripture said, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. He is waiting for you now to save you and redeem you. Make sure that you have received him as Savior and made him your Lord today. This has been a teaching session entitled, Jesus Stands Trial. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.